This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Is that Bruce Springsteen? Must mean that John Forslund, the voice of hockey, is joining us on the Adam Gold Show. Sir, welcome home. Congratulations to your daughter graduating high school. And you have earned time off, sir.
Thank you, Adam. Good to hear your voice. And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right. And by the way, congratulations. Year one for the Seattle Kraken TV crew. Number two, according to The Athletic. They only got that wrong by one, but that's fine. Congratulations on you and JT and Allison, who I think is a great part of your broadcast. I've checked you guys out at night thanks to having ESPN Plus in my house. So you guys do an awesome job.
I appreciate you bringing that up, and we had a great year. But most importantly, there are a lot of people who are new to it. We had a rookie producer, rookie director, JT in his first year. Allison had done some work, but it was a brand new endeavor for her. So a lot of people worked hard, and we can only get better. So that's good.
I like
got
it.
One more to go.
She does not. She does not take. She doesn't suffer fools. I absolutely love Allison. All right, let's get to this game or this series between Colorado and Tampa. And my read on the two teams here is that we've got the two-time champ, and while they weren't the best team in the East during the regular season, they didn't have to be because they knew what they were. Colorado has been building to this for the last several years and has really gotten upended in the playoffs. They hadn't even made it back to the conference finals for the first time in 21 years since 2001, the last time they won it. But this really is the challenger. Not Florida. I mean, I love Carolina. You know that. Not Carolina. It's really been Colorado as the challenger to Tampa's throne. Is that an accurate read of where we are?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look back at last season and how great it was for Colorado in the regular season, they made short work of St. Louis in the first round. They got to the second round. They were beaten by a better Vegas team, and then they were bitterly disappointed. And Nathan MacKinnon, I think, said it best. He said, I've been here a long time. We got a lot of accolades. We got a lot of credit, a lot of publicity. We haven't done anything yet. So I think they came into the season with a burn. For me, looking at all these teams, seeing them live, especially in the West, and watching them all season and through the playoffs, I still believe Colorado is the best team. But then we also have the champions. Mm-hmm. And I think with Tampa Bay, the thing about the champions is this. They played a lot of hockey in a short period of time. That would be the case normally if you went back to back to back this far. But when you take into account the bubble, the pauses, the disjointed schedule, the 56-game year, the press into the next season, how quickly it came about. And also, you know, the third line for Tampa was so good in the last two playoff years, Gord and Goodrow and Coleman. And they went off. They went off via trade, free agency, expansion draft. So they had to change their team on the fly, which they did at the trading deadline, made a couple of really good acquisitions. And then they morphed back into the champions during the playoffs. So this is great for hockey because this is a real hard series to pick.
Yeah, and we've actually already pointed out that television ratings for the NHL this year have gone up considerably. And a lot of that, you know, whether we think the broadcast is great or not, and I think the broadcast can be better and maybe over time will be, just the fact that ESPN is now the home has a lot to do with the fact that more people are seeing what we all have seen for years and years, and that the product is spectacular. Let me ask you about the couple of players for the Lightning before we get back to the Avalanche. Without Braden Point, it seemed like there was a little bit of a donut on in Tampa's offense. Against the Rangers, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, and Andre Palat had 12 of the Lightning's 16 goals in a six-game series win. Kucherov and Stamkos specifically, and Palat's been great, but those two guys specifically have taken maybe just parts of games to new levels. They knew they had to score. And it's so tough to do that when you know you have to. Those guys have been able to pull it off. How do you assess that?
Well, I think they challenged themselves. And I think the first two games of the third round in New York, there were so many self-inflicted wounds, whether it be the long layoff between the Florida series and the Rangers series. If that had anything to do with it or not, who cares? It's just the facts. They turned over the puck a lot. They were caught out of position. Tampa Bay didn't seem to have a lot of structure through the middle of the ice. Kucherov was the bad Kucherov. He wasn't a good Kucherov. But at the head of the list in block shots and hits in the first two games of the third round was Steven Stamkos. And it wasn't a defenseman blocking shots. They were in and around it. But Stamkos was the leader, and Stamkos was the most physical player in two losing efforts. And there's your captain, who's been through, as you know, an assortment of injuries, but had a great year with 106 points, 42 goals, played 81 of the 82. And then I think when they got back to Tampa, Kucherov said, you know what, this is on me. And in game three, he took a couple of high-sticking penalties. One was a double minor. They were bad penalties. They were through the middle of the ice or didn't have a lot of effect on preventing a scoring chance. They were lazy stick penalties. But then he was able to rise from the ashes and play as great as he did and take over the series. He's capable of doing that. But so is Nathan MacKinnon. So there's some best player boxes that will be checked in this series. The key, I think, for Tampa Bay, again, is their defensive structure, which doesn't get enough respect. And obviously, the biggest part of it is the goaltender. And once you get there, if he's on, look out.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
You
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. So I want to get to Vasilevskiy, and I need to know if you... I'm sure you know this, or you knew this at the time, because you do more research than anybody I've ever seen. But when I saw this stat, I could not stop laughing that in seven closeout games to closeout series prior to game six against the Rangers, Vasilevskiy had a goals against average of 0.14 and a save percentage of .995. I didn't know that those numbers existed. Wait, if you saw that, how would you even, how do you explain that to people?
You almost don't, because it's really bad for a broadcaster, right? Those are numbers that are so great. You don't want to burp them up because they're all going to come back at you and say you jinxed the guy, right? So he in the seven games leading up to the last closing game, where he allowed one goal, he allowed one goal on 200 shots and had six shutouts. If you say that over and over again, the whammy's going to get to him. And then as a play-by-play guy or a color person, it's going to get to you.
Yeah.
Because that's what fans do. We know that's not true. But you do think about it. And you're like, I don't want to go there too much because this has got to end at some point. But it's not. Most importantly, I just think he's so dominant. He's that force now that's larger than life. And they understand that in that locker room. That's the most important thing. So even when they're lousy, they can say to each other, Vassy's got this.
Yeah.
And when you're in a hockey room and you can say that, you're really onto something. That's the nature of the sport, always has been for years. Doesn't matter how the game changes. A goalie's a goalie. The goalie's supposed to stop the puck. I think we all understand that.
That's obviously, as for all the Stamkoses and Kucherovs and Braden Point, who John Cooper says will go tonight in game one. For all of that star power, isn't that really where the Lightning have the biggest advantage? No disrespect to Darcy Kemper, who's a good goaltender, but he's not Andrei Vasilevskiy, and he hasn't been awesome, I don't think, in the playoffs. He's certainly been good, but I don't think he's been awesome. Is that the edge for Tampa?
It is at the beginning of the series. I mean, if there was anything that hurt Tampa Bay in the third round with a 9-day layoff, it was that Vasilevsky was rusty.
Right.
The team was rusty too, but there's no way to replicate game action for a goalie in practice, right? So Kemper's coming off an injury and a long layoff. And some question as to whether or not he's the hot Darcy Kemper or the just so-so Darcy Kemper. He's going to have to be completely dialed in, obviously, to out-goaltend the other guy. And to be fair, Colorado has not seen a goalie of this caliber yet in the playoffs. It was Connor Ingram of Nashville in round one. They, you know, the injury to Saros, they chased Riddick out of there, third goalie for Nashville. Bennington, hot, Bennington injured, Husso back in, not good enough in the second round, and Mike Smith. And Mike Smith can either be there or not. He's usually not at his age. So there you have it. That's who they've faced in the playoffs, and now they're facing Andrei Vasilevsky. We'll see what path that goes down.
Is Colorado, though, aside from the goaltender, is Colorado the better, more complete team?
Yes, yes. And that's why I've had this conversation with myself, and those are never good, over the last couple of days. 10 times, who's going to win? And I'm even at 5-5. So I am checking Colorado's box at the very end of a long series only because I think I agree with you. I think they are just slightly better. But then again, when you do that, and I thought that all season, so I'm just leaning on that. But when you do that, you're violating a lot of the code here. You're violating the goalie code. You're violating best player code as a group, the coach. And the fact that these are the champions. These are the champions, and they prove they can come off the ropes in the Ranger series and get it done.
I remember talking to you at the beginning. Wasn't the beginning. It was going into game, game four, and I really believed that the Rangers looked like the better team than Tampa Bay. But I think I said to you that they made the mistake of allowing Tampa Life blowing a 2-0 lead in the middle of game three. And once Tampa got a little bit of a sniff of it, just Tampa's pedigree, not to mention that they shut the game down better than any team I've seen, that for all of their star power, nobody plays defensive hockey better than Tampa Bay.
Nobody does. And their defense is big and angular, physical when they need to be. They block shots, but they're really good at transporting it too. But I think in the Rangers series, the size factor was a big key. You know, they kept all of those guys at 5-on-5 to the outside. And by the end of the series, the Rangers had absolutely no jam at 5-on-5. There was nothing happening in the interior of the ice. So Hedman and even Jan Ruda had a real good series. A guy no one knows, but he had a real good series. Nick Dunna would be arguably a top guy in most teams. Mm-hmm. He's right in back of Hedman. Chernak, you know, Bogosian's a veteran with a snarl. You know, so you look at their D and they keep everything on the outskirts. That's always a good thing for anybody's team. But that's the key with that group. And it'll be interesting to see, the transitional speed, which is Colorado's forte, how well they can get to that. If they do through the middle, that'll be a challenge. If they do, will it overwhelm Tampa? And Colorado has good size. You know, they're not a bunch of guys that, you know, aren't going to go there. Rantanen will go there. Landeskog mm-hmm. will go there. You know, they've got Nichushkin. They got some big bodies that will get to the interior of the ice and make it a challenge on the Tampa Bay defense.
Hey, one of the former Montreal Canadiens is going to get a title, Arturi Lehkonen or Corey Perry. Who are you rooting for?
I'd root for either one of them. I'm rooting for Perry on this one. I've been through a lot. I got to know him. I never really knew him other than to cover him, but I got to spend time with him in the Edmonton bubble at the end of the 20 ordeal and got to know a little bit about him and his family and see what he was going through. And at that stage of his career and at that stage, it looked like it was over. I remember when that series ended and everybody was just back at the hotel because nobody had anywhere to go. And the champions were in a meal room someplace dancing around the Stanley Cup by themselves. And the losers were in the hotel lobby talking to us. Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, it looked like Perry was finished. Well, he wasn't. Off he goes to Montreal. A bitter disappointment last year and now this. I think it's 185 playoff games for that guy tonight, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And Lehkonen, you know, hey, he'll be a free agent. He's going to be a great pickup for somebody. But Third round clinching goal in overtime last year. Third round clinching goal in overtime this year. That never happened.
No, absolutely doesn't. Corey Perry, Dallas in the bubble. Montreal last year. Don't want to lose three cups in a row. That'll send you to retirement. John Forslund, I appreciate your time. Enjoy your vacation. I might bug you again if you'll allow me, but if not,
you have to.
Okay.
You have to. Yeah. No. I'm always here. No question.
All right, sir. Yeah. Be well. Congratulations again on all of it.
Thanks, Adam. We're proud. Thank you.
You got it. John Forslund joining us. All right. When we come back, we'll go into. Oh no, we're not going to the rewind yet. We're going to check in at the coast. We've got fish been boated. I don't know how big, but Josh Goodson, our Big Rock correspondent, joins us next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts. A couple hundred miles from where we are right now, maybe a little bit less than that. Morehead City, the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament is, we're after halftime, right? We're in the latter stages of the event, and our man on the scene, Josh Goodson, who might or may not have a financial interest in one of the boats out there, he joins us. First of all, how's your day gone so far?
Good day today. Actually went and looked at the Country Club of the Crystal Coast, small little golf course down here in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina.
Sounds lovely.
Great shape. Only 6,000 yards from the blue tees, like super short, super fast round, super cold beer. So looking out at the water right now, just finished playing a little while ago. So good day today.
You just said everything that people need to hear about why golf is great. But first of all, you caught a fish yesterday, right?
God, yeah. And actually, I had to disqualify myself, and I'll tell you why. If you're fishing in the Big Rock, lines cannot even go in until 9 a.m. I was fishing out in the Intercoastal at 7:30 when I caught mine. So even though mine was only a half a pound spot, it would not I'm disqualified. I don't know if I had my fishing license on me anyways, but because I was fishing before 9 a.m., I would have been disqualified anyways from winning any big money. But we had a good day yesterday.
All right, Josh Goodson. When we last spoke, Mercenaria had boated a 572-pound blue marlin. Where do we stand a little bit beyond halftime of the Big Rock Blue Marlin Fishing Tournament?
So still the Mercenaria is still in the lead. Their two fish came in later that on Monday night that were not quite as big as those. So I think they pay out the big money, pays out the top three fish. Mercenaria is still in the lead. Mercenaria, if it goes on to have the biggest fish throughout the tournament, I believe with the big bonus they had by catching the first 500-pounder, in addition to first-place money, they could total around $3.5 million when it's all said and done, if it holds up. It's not surprising that they're still in the lead. Only 36 or 38 boats fished yesterday. A lot of people took their lay day yesterday. It was a little choppy out.
Right.
So counterpoint today, I believe there's over 200 boats fishing today. The wind changed. I was hearing chatter that the wind changed and is coming out of the northeast now, and that's better for blue marlin. I think that's just made up. Like, people just say that. If it was coming out of the southwest, there would be somebody that would tell you, like, oh, it's out of the southwest. They're going to be biting this morning. But it was very choppy yesterday, so it wasn't surprising that there was a lot of boats that did not fish yesterday. So Mercenaria is still in the lead. One did just come into the weigh station, the Builder's Choice out of New Bern, but it was only 479 pounds. I say only. But for those guys, like, I don't think you win any money for that. It's fun to have your fish up there and you take the pictures, and it's a big deal, but I imagine there's a little bit of you'd almost rather not go through all of catching it and all the work involved and then have nothing to show for it.
Not to mention that you come in, you bring it in, so you should be able to eye it. right? They should have like their a little portable scale out there.
Well, I think they definitely will. They definitely will measure them on the boat, and I think that's obviously a good indicator, right? Like if you've been doing this forever, you kind of know it probably needs to be at least 100 inches in length, right? That's
yes.
kind of like the starter in my thoughts. This one actually measured around 112 inches, I believe. So I imagine anything over 100, you kind of have to take your chance, because I imagine out there, you can't really tell if something's 530 pounds or 430 pounds. So you just take your chances. But yeah, you're right. I don't want to say they've wasted a day, because they will say they've had fun, but
sure.
not having any money to show for it, I'm sure, is a little bit of a letdown for them.
So what does it look like with 200 boats out there? It's got to look like the dock.
Yeah, it's insane. So all the boats are if you're down here in the Morehead City, Beaufort area, basically any open marina and any open boat slip is full this week. And if you're around there walking around 7 p.m., you'll see that. Michael Jordan is actually Catch 23, when it comes back at night, is boated up on the other side of Morehead City, but basically not on the main waterfront drag where there's the restaurants and where they do all the other stuff. He's essentially on the other side. But whenever these boats start coming back in, which I believe lines have to come out at 3 p.m., so you technically cannot throw anything, or you have to be done by 3 p.m., around 5 or 6 o'clock today, it's going to be pandemonium. It's going to be basically – what do we hear about in the triangle? The Johnson County, the 40-70, the 40-42 split,
right?
With all the traffic going out of Garner and Smithfield area, it's like that coming into the port area over here in Morehead. It's insane on a day like today.
And by the way, so far for Jordan, they're in the top, I guess top three or roughly no maybe top top eight for the heaviest dolphin. They caught a 24.
Did you see the picture?
No, I didn't see the picture.
It was funny. Yes, it was Monday, and I think Jordan was actually the angler, like the one that was like holding the reel when it came in.
So right? He's on the boat?
Yeah, he's on the boat. He's down here. Like, Michael's down here. They did not fish yesterday. I would love to know, and I bet your buddy Curtis Strange could tell you where they golfed yesterday. I guarantee he did not just sit in his boat in the middle of Beaufort, Morehead City. Like, and his jet's down here. You can see his. There's an airstrip over in the Beaufort area where there's a bunch of private stuff and one of Jordan's things over there. But Michael's down here. There's a picture of him on Monday. He's the one that actually reeled in the dolphin. And it's funny because they take all these pictures of, like, the name of the boat, the dolphin. It almost looks like he's holding a sign, like going to his first day of kindergarten, right? When it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Who's your favorite teacher? It's like, here's the boat name. Here's the dolphin angler, Michael Jordan. It would have been a lot cooler if it said Mike Jordan, but no, he's down here fishing, enjoying it. And like I said, they did not fish yesterday. He was one of the boats that did not fish yesterday. So I assume he'll be out there on the water today through Saturday.
Yeah, and apparently on Monday they did hook up a couple of blue marlin, but released both of them. Michael realized these are not big enough. We ain't wasting our time. But give me that 24-pound dolphin. What do you did
for
they
sure.
just release that back, or what do you do with it?
Well, they bring it. I don't know what happens to it once you bring it back, but it is something they bring back and actually weigh at the scale. So like whenever, because there's different species and different competitions you can be in. There was a 100-pound wahoo caught yesterday, which is leading the wahoo division, which is a huge wahoo.
Sure.
There's dolphin, but they bring those back in. What they do with them afterwards, I honestly don't know if you're eating it or if it is like released somehow after the fact.
Well, wahoo, I would let's cook it up, man.
I would hope they would eat the wahoo. That's actually great table fare to eat, you know, as far as seafood goes, for sure.
Let's cook that up. All right, how much more do we have left here?
Through Saturday. So we are basically at the halfway point. Today's the third day of fishing. There would still be three full days of fishing after today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. And weather looks pretty good the rest of the time. There may be a little – I think the chance of rain is tomorrow, so I don't know if that means you'll see fewer boats come out. But it also gets to the point where the further you get into this thing, if you haven't caught anything, you're going to be out there all day and you might actually go against the elements. So we're basically the halfway point will be after today is over.
All right. You want to check in on Friday? Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Josh Goodson. You said you were going to have U.S. Open picks for us.
Yes. The winner is going to come out of this group.
Okay.
He's going to come out of Max Homa, Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth. The winner's going to come out of one of those five. Throw Shane Lowry in there too. Shane Lowry as well. One of those six is going to win the U.S. Open this week.
Okay, fine. That's not.
No, you're not in. You're not in on that.
Look, I think those are all wonderful players. Like, I'm not knocking it, but there's a lot of better players on the board than that.
What do you real quick? Do you think there's any like the live golfers like Dustin, Louis, Poulter, or the guys that are in it? Do you think that they play well this week or totally? They're either going to play awesome or they're going to be irrelevant, right? There's no kind of middle ground for that for those group, correct?
Here's the thing, and I actually promised that today would be a live free day, but this is not really talking about the tour. Those specific players, there's nobody there playing well enough.
Sure.
None of them. I mean, Dustin Johnson, he fell to number 15 in the world. He's now, I think, number 16. He fell to number 15 in the world for a reason, because he hasn't been playing well.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson hasn't been playing, but really wasn't even playing well before then. Bryson DeChambeau's been hurt. DeChambeau, to me, would have the best chance of doing well. Again, we just don't know how healthy he is. Honestly, I don't anticipate any of them really playing well. I mean, the most obvious answer is probably Louis Oosthuizen. You know, because he's generally pretty straight and good in majors. So I wouldn't be surprised if he played well. But I don't anticipate any of those guys playing well. But I don't think it has anything to do with LIV. So I'm keeping my promise that this is a LIV-free zone today.
Fair enough. Enjoy it. We'll chat on Friday. I'm going to go find Michael, see what he's getting into tonight.
All right, man. Take care. Josh Goodson.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.